You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to Hour 1. We're having a production meeting right now, and I was just telling the guys that I think some valid criticism from the first week is that it was very self-involved. I will say, in our defense, allow us that. It was a big week for us. A lot was going on, and it was obviously super political, given what happened. No one could have seen that coming. Well, maybe a lot of you could have seen that coming, and we haven't been, you know, the hours haven't been diversified. They've been singularly focused. And I think we're really at our best when we have a lot of different things thrown out at you within a singular hour. And I'm ashamed to admit this, but probably more sports.
Yes.
Well, no, wait a minute. This is what just happened during the break. And so I'm going to need some help here, because what do you guys think? I am not comfortable with two things here. How self-involved the show has become, to the detriment of being able to involve the shipping container in the kinds of segments that people like the most, because no matter how much we bring you Aaron Rodgers and everybody else, the segments that people like is when we're in the sandbox throwing shit at each other. And we've moved away from that because A, our entire workflow has changed. B, we were helped by clocks and commercials and got used to that over 8 years so we could keep a show humming. C, this is total freedom. It is something that we're figuring out on the fly. There was no break for us. We went from one day we were on ESPN, the next day we were here, and now there are no rules. There are no governors. Mike's doing some engineering over here. We have to hire a bunch of people. I have to walk out to negotiate something, and the whole thing is spinning, and we're just sort of cycling through on a factory conveyor belt 40 minutes at a time. Here's this guest. Here's this guest. Where before we would have had more discipline of wanting 12 minutes with a guest or 14 minutes with a guest. And then it became, because of all the commercials, 4 minutes with a guest, and there was no point of even putting it on terrestrial radio anymore.
I'm enjoying the guest features that we have, where Adam Lefko isn't confined to just 12 minutes with us, where he can take part in a free-flowing conversation. It's what we've always aspired to. Wait, we get to have Aaron Rodgers for 33 uninterrupted minutes. That doesn't have to stop. But we've seen the rankings. People really respond to the guest-free segments, too. They respond to all the segments. Let me get that perfectly clear. It just so happens that the most downloaded segments tend to be the ones that are just general banter. We should diversify that banter. We should probably ease up on the thanking people. They just want us to get into show.
I think I know what it is that we need to get us back on track. And if you want, maybe set a timer so that 15 minutes from now we can do it. We'll build it up. tease a little bit. Mm-hmm. What's it called? TSA, TSL. Mm-hmm. Build some of that up a little bit. I guess that doesn't work on podcasts, but yeah. In 15 minutes,
I'll set an alarm.
I think what we need to do, Chris, set your alarm, go around the room, and all of us say, what's for lunch?
Perfect.
Oh, wow. You just saved it, Bill.
This is what's been missing. Yeah. That We're is back. Exactly what yep. has been missing. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Billy. I appreciate you coming in to the rescue and being a real glue guy in this situation.
I actually think, I don't know the specifics of the contract, and we may have lost what's for lunch, but pivot what's for brunch.
Wow.
You don't think that's too close to the other stuff and it'll get us in trouble?
No, different letters. You're good.
You're a hero today.
Okay. Thank you, Billy, for all your good work. I appreciate you keeping it together for us. The thing that has been self-involved has been, yes, we are lost at sea. Ahoy, matey. We are lost at sea, and you can all see it. And we right now are making an enormous amount of content. None of us are sleeping very much. Stugatz is careening out of control. Stugatz is grabbing
at, hurts, man.
Grabbing at money, failing to do cameos. And so we're a bit of a mess. We're spilling into here on very little sleep. I drank one day last week. I was drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning. So it's been a little unhinged. This is sort of like freedom. We're snorting freedom a little bit
here. I mean, Mike has me smoking weed and doing mushrooms with Chris Long.
I didn't have you doing that. By the way, are you going on Chris Long's show? We're making a lot of acid people. Break news, amino acid. Do something. You got to start paying back some of these favors.
Well, but I can't give interviews right now is what's happening. I don't want to be giving interviews.
We just don't trust you giving interviews.
Well, that's the thing. I can't. That is correct.
If you want to talk to Vogue, go ahead.
No, I can't give interviews.
You want me to do them?
At this minute, no.
You want to join Giada, go for it.
No,
I know nothing. I'm the perfect guy to do them.
Three times yesterday, I'm answering a number. Three times yesterday. Hello. Yes, I'm such and such news outlet. I want to ask you questions. And I'm like, I don't know anything. I don't want to say anything. I don't know anything. We're just starting. We're not left-leaning. We're not. We're just starting. Leave us alone.
Then they call me and they say, can you get Dan for us?
Right. And so we got to be careful. No, but we were flattered. We're going to now, evidently, we're going to do the late night circuit because me and Stugatz are being requested to be on Charles Barkley's podcast. We're now rebellious guests. The comedy.
That's not quite the late night circuit, but I get it.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's not at all the late night circuit.
Does he have a podcast? Is that the thing?
They want to
late night circuit. Charles Barkley.
They want to tape it at 2 p.m. I mean,
it's a but as late night, yeah.
Oh, so we're not supposed to be flattered? Like if Jimmy Fallon invited us on, we've never been invited. Charles Barkley has never invited us to guest on anything he's doing.
No, this is a podcast that he and Ernie do, and they have invited us onto that podcast. Yes, I'm surprised we haven't been invited onto like Kimmel or something. To be honest with you, it's always been a dream of mine to be on one of those shows. I feel like we're deserving
Dude,
Gotts, of it.
You would crush that. I would crush.
My guess would be though that whatever it is we're building, even though I haven't talked to anybody about it, we'll have that kind of. I mean, it's its own media company. Stugatz, like I'm assuming that things that can be called in, if we're the number one sports podcast in America, we're a comedy team that's been working together across 20 years, we're a spoof of a sports show. Here are our late night guests, and which show would we be on? Would it be Corden? Would it be Seth Meyers?
Corden is late nights.
I think it'd be the Carson Daly show.
Yeah, or Seth Meyers. Seth Meyers is the ceiling for you guys.
And it'd be on Zoom, right? We wouldn't even be allowed to be there, right? It's not even a comedy circuit or it's not a late night circuit. It's just we'd call in on Zoom.
Yeah, we would.
What happened with you and Cameo? Like, what is the real story? Why are the listeners mad at you?
And how much money have you cost yourself?
I've cost myself a good deal of money.
Thousands of dollars, yes?
Yeah, I've cost myself, I'd say, probably thousands of dollars. I'm okay with that. Listen, let me just say this, okay? For the people's cameos that I did not do, I am truly sorry. Now, I will tell you, and these are facts, I did not do 70 cameos, okay? 70. And of those 70, there were a handful of them I wasn't going to do anyway. Because some of the requests you got, you guys are animals. And I'm not going to say some of the things you're asking me to say. What I'm going to do is start exposing the things that you asked me to do.
So vile things. So people, I think it might actually, we should shame the listener that way, Stugatz. If you have that there, and in trying to be kind to the audience, you're saying the audience has been requesting of you things that not, unspeakable things that you will not repeat because you will not cheapen our brand that way, even as you cheapen our brand by being so on brand that people are mad at you now for grabbing at money that you haven't actually grabbed?
There are people who have a right to be upset with me. I apologize to those people. I have made arrangements for those people to get their money back because they don't know how to get their own money back. So I care more about your money than you care about your own money. Okay? I called Cameo and I said, I don't care that I'm doing them for free. You're going to give these people your money back. They laughed at me and said they had the option of getting their money back. What are you talking about? Like, the owner Cameo laughing at me on the phone. He's like, if they use the app, they have an option of getting paid back through Apple. If they use it on the computer, they just get their money back.
Nuts. How does where are
but
you?
But that doesn't excuse it because people wanted the videos and they wanted it, you know, in a certain time frame. And I apologize to those people. So what I have done is I totally botched it. I made a mess.
But Stugatz, this is why.
But I've gotten them their money back, and will you let me finish? And I've done them for free, okay? But I will tell you, 70, you people who went on Reddit and claimed that you purchased a Cameo from me and never purchased a thing, I'm going to expose you. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to expose you.
I just want to be clear.
I'm going to expose all of you.
So no, you're not.
Oh, yes, I am.
It's easier to record a video than to do all that research. Yeah. You're not going to do that.
You've cut it down to 70 from 300 because Reddit had an extensive list of 300
people.
I don't care
what Reddit says. I have the Cameo report, and the Cameo report says 70. Now, of those 70, 15 to 20, not doing them. You guys ask for foul stuff, I'll expose you. I'll tell you right now, I will put your request on Twitter if you guys don't shut the hell up. I am telling you, and Reddit, stop lying to Dan and Mike.
No.
It was 70 people, not 300. No. I have the report.
All right, hold on. Stugatz.
And I did them all for free.
So I want the audience to know this because this is what Stugatz and I were.
No way you did.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
I'm mad at them. Well, I am mad at our listeners.
And you're mad at our listeners. Our listeners are mad at you. That's not the spirit of what we were trying to do with Cameo thing.
I am mad at 30 people, okay? Is it.
Okay, but I love, for example, I love so far watching Chris and Billy do improv, Roy stay totally in straight man character, and they're doing little bits of show for the audience in ways that require effort. In ways, Greg Cody's making all of these about himself and not pouring creativity into them and being exactly who Greg Cody is. But Chris is trying. I saw him do 2 minutes of improv that had me smiling because he was just making fun of Matt with one T. And Billy has been uproarious. Billy's wearing costumes.
Billy is fantastic. I watch Billy's just to entertain myself.
Billy,
I'm sorry.
Billy is wearing
attention.
No, Billy.
Stop.
Billy,
so good at it.
Billy, no, Bill, it's great.
Billy, you going from tree to tree, pointing out how different they were when they were exactly
different trees,
the same.
Dan.
Yes, totally deadpan.
So it's so good because he can put little effort in, and it's like not little effort because he rambles forever, but like he's doing it so dry that it looks like he's not putting any effort in, but I crack up.
He's
on
really
everyone.
Good at it. And Stugatz, so from within that, you and I were fighting yesterday, and we don't fight very often. Stugatz and I love each other, and we understand each other, and we understand that these partnerships are delicate, and it's been a goddamn miracle that we've survived 20 years of them together with all the shit that there is in this business. And so we fought about, and my timing was bad on this, but what ended up happening yesterday is in my inbox were some complaints. I was not on a Reddit or anywhere else. A complaint landed at my AOL address with somebody who was like hurt, right? They were hurt and angry and reaching out to me directly through my old ass AOL.
Sure.
And they were saying, hey, look, I wanted to do this for my wife. And that person reported like, and I love you guys, and I want to be around what you're doing and stuff. And then I found myself getting hurt, and then I found myself sleeping next to my wife angry because I was trying to get her a gift through Stugatz that would have been funny. And during the pandemic, we haven't gotten to enjoy anything. And so I asked that person for their telephone number, and I sent them a video. And then in sending them a video of me just trying to do the character because I'm not doing cameos, terrible timing on my part, I sent Stugatz a message saying, hey, look, we got to be careful with this because I've had to handle this today and some people are mad. And I guess they were also doing that on the Reddit. But it's not because of the Reddit. It's because of that interaction that I had with that fan that I was trying to correct.
And I understand that. And I was going through some stuff yesterday, some personal stuff that was very stressful. And so the timing wasn't great. But still, I understand why, because you care. But I care, too. and I care about our audience. I think I said this to you, and I care about money. But I said this to you, I think, yesterday at some point. I am everything that Dan says I am on a regular basis. I've never shied away from it. I'm greedy. I'm selfish. I'm thoughtless sometimes. I'm not well organized. I don't plan things out. I'm trying to get to know Cameo a bit in a way that I can do this a little bit better. Like when you asked me for a studio request, a studio tour, and that request expires at midnight last night, I have to leave you a message to tell you, hey, I'll record the studio tour tomorrow. I can't do it today. So I have to get my timing down on some of that stuff as I try to navigate here through Cameo. But yesterday, the timing was bad, but it's on me. And what I said to you was, I care about this audience. I am all those things, but not as it relates to this audience. I would do these for free. In fact, I let some of them expire. No one's going to believe me, and I've earned this. I would let some expire because there was no time stamp on them. It wasn't a birthday. It wasn't because I felt like it would be nice to do something free for some of the members of our
audience. Do you guys not believe him? Because
no one's going to believe me.
No, you could have stopped early.
I let some expire because there was no time stamp.
And listen, the reason you don't believe me.
I wanted to do it for free as opposed to taking money for it.
The reason you don't believe me is because I just totally lied.
You think I'm an idiot?
But I am an idiot.
All the last week.
But I am an idiot. I felt so bad about. I can't be Stugatz's boss.
He was telling us to our faces for four straight shows last week. I'll get to him.
I listen to me. I don't want you to be my boss. You don't want to be my boss.
I don't want to be your boss.
I just want you to trust me and know
it's
that
so
I'm thinking
hard,
about
though.
This stuff.
It's hard. It's hard.
But
sometimes.
I trust you. I left ESPN
I know,
for
that's
you.
That's fair. That part is fair. But
so just a little trust back my way that, hey, Stugatz is actually, he's 48. I've taught him a lot. He's gotten a little bit better. That perhaps I'm doing so much. I don't need
and
to do
is,
a shirtless
No, and that's the
video.
Other thing. But here's the other thing.
I mean, it's like the Cameo
okay,
police.
Here's the thing, though.
You and Mike.
I don't understand. Mike, he's right. You know,
the C in Cameo stands for cops.
He's really mad about this, Mike. And I caught the brunt of it last night, and I hate when I hurt Stugatz. I really do. Because so little hurts him. Man, he's been taking a beating for 20 years around here on the wrong side of unfairness. Like, so little hurts him, and so when he gets hurt...
I've been rewarded for it, too, though.
But when he gets hurt, like, I felt... You guys are arguing all my points because he's trust me, don't trust me, and he's earned every bit of the skepticism. But in the middle of negotiations, I felt pretty shitty last night because we're all trying to figure this out at the same time. And all of this shit's moving way too fast.
I want to trust Stugatz on him saying that he's going to make it up to people. I just don't have anything in the way of proof that he is, which is as long as you make it up to people, I'm fine. I know you got stuff going on in your life. I know you're aggressively lazy, and I know you had no idea what you got yourself into. But we need to make it up for these people because there's a fine line between being on brand, being cute, being Stugatz, and it's good fodder for the show if you occasionally mess these up, and then straight up ripping people off.
I agree. So, Mike, no one was ripped off, though. So,
well, no, it is a ripoff if you get in early because you're such a big Stugatz fan and you pay $39.99 for a Stugatz video.
Right. Yep.
It lapses. I get my credit back, not actual cash value.
No, you're
I get
wrong.
I heard you say the iPhone. People have to jump through hoops. It's cool that Cameo has other people to do it.
Okay.
But the baseline to get my money back is it's not easy.
All right.
I get credit. I get $39.99. Okay, then I'll just try Stugatz again. Now Stugatz is $150.
You're right.
Try Chris.
I am punished. For being such a supporter of Stugatz's venture, he didn't even do it, and now I'm priced out.
Right, and I should have pivoted that way, where I'm trying to get more money for Chris, Roy, and Billy. But here's the deal, Mike, okay? You're right, and there are probably three or four where I genuinely feel bad that I did not get them done. Because did they tug at my heartstrings, and I will get it done, and they will be super special. I'm telling you right now, except for the foul ones, and I'm going to expose all of you. I'm serious, okay? How dare you ask me to say some of the things you're asking me to say? I have teenage daughters, man. Are you kidding me? I mean, someone wanted me to show my butthole.
His bleached butthole.
I mean, seriously. I am going to do the ones that I missed that I want to do, within reason, okay? The ones that I have agreed to do. I will do those all for free. I've already started to do some of them, Okay.
Like, you can't even get through it. You can't even get through it without laughing at the butthole. You're laughing at your own lies.
I'm laughing that Dan, it's like when I make a bet with you and I control the outcome. I made a bet with Cameo. I controlled the outcome. I lost the money.
And I bet you $500 you weren't going to fulfill these asks, and I'm never getting paid.
Listen, I am going to do them for free, and I called Cameo myself. But, and I said if it's too confusing for them to get their money back on the app, you're going to give them their money back, or I am going to stop doing Cameo. But, okay. And that was a lie, but it worked.
So okay. You called this amorphous thing Cameo. There's just a number, and it's Cameo.
I called Cadison.
All right. Tell me he answers his phone. Word up.
Cadison was on the Lauer After Hours.
Oh, my God. I feel bad for I think you're going to get Cadison in trouble.
No, Cadison, he laughed at me. Mike, I called. I said, give these people their money back. He said, anything for you in the show.
If I'm Cameo and I hear that Cadison interview, I'm like, stop talking. Stop revealing this stuff about Ben Gordon. You don't have to name names. What? Don't crack open a beer during this. That's a bad idea. And it immediately goes off the rails.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Cameo, can we just be honest about what is happening here? Because the tension between me and Stugatz and me and corporate has been for a long
time. You know what that means?
What does it mean?
Yeah.
What's for brunch?
Oh, it's nice. Thank God.
I wanted to talk about the cheapening of the show.
Oh, I love this, Governor.
Do we have a sponsor?
It was way too focused on Cameo.
Yep.
All right, so what's for brunch, Dan?
But it was focused on Cameo, but it's also letting people see inside on negotiations, intense nights.
Yeah.
All of us fighting over money. As
but
Stugatz.
I'm sick of it. You've done it for long enough. We all got it. He's sorry. He lied again, and we're good.
Yeah, but I fixed it. And that's what
you didn't.
You're right. But what I'm telling you is I just want people to process this. I currently don't have a job or a contract. I haven't signed anything. I'm not making money. Cameo is my only source of income. And I am failing to do all of that.
I don't know how you botched that.
That and a wayward DraftKings spot that showed up on Supodity.
Well, here's one of the problems, though. And this is the tricky part, right? Stugatz right now. This big left-leaning company of ours.
Portside.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you. In this startup, as it gloriously rises, soaring toward the sun, toward riches and fame, to our sales department. There it is, right there. That is what he is busy doing, and it's one of the reasons he is grabbing at money, but he's grabbing at more money, and he's grabbing for the container. But he totally botched the Cameo thing.
I did.
But it's because we keep going to him, and he's too busy in big fish sales. And he's sailing beyond these people with their $39 cheapening of Cameo. Let's just look into your private life. Let's just sell each other little bits of the show until it is symbolically and actually sold out.
Just quickly, Mike, Cadison's biggest problem, his first mistake, and really his only mistake thus far, because when I did call him, he got it fixed and got it fixed quickly, and he will get these people's money back. Is setting me at $39.99 because I told him, man, so many are going to come in at $39.99. There's no way I'm going to be able to keep up.
So
now here's the problem.
We're at the Stugatz stage of grief where you blame others.
Yes. Now, listen, it's like a caddy, Mike, when you're on the 11th hole of Parkland Golf and Country Club and the caddy tells you to use a 9-iron, right?
And you end up using a driver and
exactly,
pinning it.
Exactly. And you're right in the hole. Exactly right. Cadison made a mistake, and I said, listen, I will afford you one mistake, and that's it, okay? And your mistake was you gave me a 9-iron when I needed a driver.
There was this great story that
terrible caddy
that Addison told on Lauer After Hours, because I was listening back to it to get some insight on what this was and to see how bad the original sin was. By the way, what is for brunch?
All right, we'll get to that in a second. Can we get them some help on getting enough likes and retweets to get whatever it is that they're looking for? I'd like to encourage a podcast about the show.
Well, Lauer After Hours doesn't seem to need our help. It's perennially in the top 50. It's a podcast. So we're a show about a show. That show is about a show about a show. It's a podcast that's devoted to us, and we thank them for their support. But Addison from Cameo, which is a good get and great thought out of them to actually book him, joined them on there. And I think the funniest, most Stugatz-y part of it is, thank God Addison didn't name this fan of our show. But you know how Stugatz is running this pyramid a little bit? He has Billy under his umbrella.
Oh, it all feels like a cheapening. Like, it feels in some ways perfect for our show and what it is and the tension between journalistic straight man and a guy who's actually wanted freedom more than me, son of Cuban exiles all his life, because now he's the sales department.
Yeah, he's like, making money.
We don't have anybody.
But I've always had freedom.
Sales department, a double entendre. You know how to run a rig there, Yarg. So, because sales, pirate sales.
And
that's what I was doing. Yeah. So he gets some money from Billy, which we've established is great at Cameo. He gets money from like Chris, all the stuff that they do. You get a chunk of that money. It's a referral system. Cameo themselves said this on this podcast, Sugats. I see you shaking your head.
Right.
There was an interaction where just a fan of the show somehow found Sugats' referral code. And Addison uses the generic name of Mark Jacobs, who happens to be like a world famous designer, so whatever. This person is not famous, has no reason being a celebrity Cameo endorser, but says he's part of Sugats' umbrella, and Addison is still learning our show, so he takes him for his word and he approaches Sugats. Totally generic name, Mark Jacobs. Hey, I'm getting approached by this Mark Jacobs. He says he's a part of the show and he's part of your referrals. Buddy. He might be. He might be. I don't know, but there's a chance. Yeah, take the money.
Yep.
Oh, no. Yep. Oh, no. Sugats, we can't cheapen it so much that we're going to welcome actual investigations. Billy, your face is in your hands because do you realize the number of people that you have sent? You've got now like this money laundering system that you're running through Cameo, and at the back end of it, because you're reckless and you're our sales department, you botched the whole thing and there are just thousands of dollars on the table. And now you're making money because you're running a mafia scheme where every time Billy makes a 3-minute video that he's pouring himself into in costume and design, you're getting a cut.
My goal with Cameo is I'll never have to send another Cameo again. I mean,
before you have any sent any,
isn't that the dream? I mean, just make money off of other people.
Billy, where are we with this?
Part of my conversations before registering and my very short negotiations was just give Roy my referral. I will be Roy's referral. Let Roy be the one who referred me. So Roy is benefiting because I was partially afraid of something like this happening where I would be implicated in whatever it is that Sugats is going on. So I'm like,
that's good.
I was referred by Roy.
Roy, were you moved by that? That's a touching moment. You and Billy. That speaks to a financial warmth I did not have growing in your relationship.
Yes, I am deeply moved that you did that, and it's a lot of money that came my way, so I really appreciate that.
Well, I'm trying to protect myself also.
Right? And a lot of money that came Billy's way, too.
But Billy, you're crushing it. You've got your own little platform. It's basically Billy TV. Chris is chasing you down because it makes me smile every time I see Chris because he just from the moment the camera starts, he is just such an oaf.
Yeah. It's a lot of energy too, man.
This
ain't easy. This Cameo thing bit off a little more than I could chew, man.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it to be this difficult.
You haven't done anything.
Yeah, what?
I mean, I'm making quiche.
How has it been difficult for you, Sugats? Explain to me. You haven't done anything other than
sitting around waiting for Billy and Roy and Chris and some stranger now Amin El Hassan to shoot their cameos and that money to get to my account. I mean, it's stressful. It's hard.
Mike, how do we get this under control? Because this is the
first. By telling the people what's for brunch.
Okay, what is for brunch? Billy, where did you want us to take that segment? Look, I can't believe this. This is the God's honest truth here, just to let people totally behind the curtain. Mike Ryan is serious. He actually seriously, we're a week out from ESPN, and with no sense of irony, none, even though he has a sense of humor. You know what? Producer guy in the middle of spinning plates, because all he's doing all show is talking to engineers. You know what he has the audacity to say to me? The audacity after what we just did. Corporate Michael, ever here for you because now we have no governors and you hate us already after 8 free days because we're not doing the show you were used to 8 days ago because we're totally unhinged. All of a sudden I'm a CEO and you can tell I'm in bed with a snake. Like, and he's our sales department. Like, this is not a left-leaning company. It's just a pirate ship mess.
Poor time.
Floating. You can't come in here and say to me like you just did, Dan, more sports. Like, yeah, get the out of my life, dude. Like, what do you mean more sports? Yeah. Like, that can't be what it is for me 7 or 8 days in where you're the executive branch. Now, that's all we've got here. We don't have, there's no one to run. There's no one above Mike on content. He's editorial. Yeah. Like, and he's engineering. Mike is editorial and engineering. Sugats is sales. Billy is Cameo improv. Chris is the worst personal assistant you've ever seen.
Thank you.
I cannot believe you made that hire.
And all this happened because of Chris.
They're all here. And now, Chris, you have not done one thing for me as my personal assistant other than end my ESPN run.
You said you're hemorrhaging money. I've been crushing it on Cameo if you need a few hundy.
Mike, how can it possibly be? Look, I'll talk Nets if you want me to. I thought we did enough of that with Amin, and I will get away from the self-involvement, and we will get back to the show you're more used to if, indeed, you're spending a lot of time complaining because we're letting you a little too far inside maybe. But all of this is real is the point.
Oh, this is real. Yeah.
We're in the middle of all of this. Our night's filled with, like, arguments about this kind of stupidity and, you know, not wanting to cheapening this. Like, we don't want to cheapen it. We want this to be the cool thing that becomes the underdog, even though you guys think it's the cool thing. But, and so we'll stay out here doing it this way for a while, but it's a little too loose. Yeah. I've done too much politics. But at this time in America, like, come on, guys. I mean,
no, you should absolutely be afforded that. And the fact that this is a new thing for us, you should be afforded to be more self-involved. But the category, when you look at the podcast, where we're number one on is sports. And on average, if I could be kind, maybe one of the five episodes we put out per day on this Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gotts has to deal with sports, and you can mix it in a little bit more than we have. Yes, you did great. James Harden isn't going to get traded every day, though, Dan. We need to be able to give people a diverse portfolio, be able to talk Cameo, and tell people what's for brunch.
Dan, I think one of the issues is there's a lot of people who joined us when we started at ESPN. For the people who were with us before ESPN, what we're doing now is not a problem. For the people who joined us when we started at ESPN and they grew to love us, this, what we're doing right now, is something they've never heard before. This was the show before we got to ESPN. It was very self-involved, for better or for worse.
Well, but and this is the part I know, at the risk of getting yet more self-involved, okay? Because I do want to explain more and more of the bits to you. I want you guys, I really do think that when some of you hear what we were doing in the shadows with Tim Jerns and Shane Bacalata, and we explain the joke to you that was happening in the shadows, now that you've seen everything that's happened since then, to liberate us into this free world. Mike, when are you releasing? What can we tell people? Because we've done this stiffly for a while. We will get the discipline back of having these segments be tighter and not so wandering and not so one subject and not so self-involved. But this is my life at the moment. There's nothing else I'm thinking about right now at any waking moment in the day, which is how I hurt Stu Gotts' feelings yesterday, than myself and this thing. Like, because we've got a lot going on and we're super excited. But this is a unstable time for all of us.
There was real tension yesterday. Like, this is real, and we're just playing it out on air. My hope was, and we're not going to get there, and it's fine, is that Dan just knows that I care about this audience the same way that Dan cares about this audience. And if I F something up, and I did, I'm going to try to clean it up. Once I have some time to try and clean it up. And yesterday I didn't have that time.
We've done a variation of that 17 times here. Dan was getting to something different. So to answer your question, pancakes with coconut-infused maple syrup.
I can't do this kind of disciplined, undisciplined stuff where there are no clocks and we're just wandering around with the freedom and we're drinking tequila and Stu Gotts is taking sales calls and you're talking to a guy in a miner's helmet and now you're trying to make us a television network and you're being very much corporate Michael right now. And I don't want to turn you into the enemy, but now you're the guy who studies all the podcast numbers. You're digital. You're shooting us into the future. Well, you're talking the executive language. You are our executive board, our editorial board.
Our fan base is super passionate. I'm not going to thank them. We've done that plenty. But this is a very strange podcast. We have an insane output to be a popular podcast. Just the same way that Joe Rogan is insane for putting out a 3.5-hour episode, but that's one standalone episode. We require a lot of your time. So we should be able to reward people by giving them diverse, because they're insane, our fans. They listen to everything we put out. And there's a lot of new people aboard that are familiarizing and supporting the Le Batard and Friends Network, which is our three side projects. That will grow as well. That will get better. Supodity will get better. South Beach Sessions will get better. Mystery Crate is something that I know by the numbers is third place amongst those properties. And not a lot of people, because it was in the perceived height of the pandemic, got to listen or get what we were doing with this character played by someone from Hollywood, Tim Jerns. Tim Jerns was a rib on everything that was going on at the time.
This is the most fun I had at any point during the pandemic making anything.
We were in that condo in your apartment building, and we were
just... It was awful. It was a sad condo wrestling on the television.
WWE Network on 24.
It felt dirty. That time in our lives.
It had a smell to it.
We couldn't get a microphone. We had to wait 10 days for someone. Like the biggest sports radio show in America.
I was holding up... Man, it's insane that I was holding up headphones to my computer. This feels like
it was 10
years
ago. That was a time. It was.
I'll look back on it like it would have a wafting smell when you walked in. There was exposed concrete. There was dick confetti all over the floor. I miss it.
What?
Yes. I miss it so much.
Yeah, it was a bad time. Sad time, and it's the most fun that I had. I'm a newlywed during the pandemic, was making magic with some Hollywood people I won't say that no one got the joke, but it was a dirty whispered secret. And one to take people really behind the scenes, I haven't asked Mike why he made this decision. I wanted this to run on ESPN radio, and I wanted it to run as a standalone, no explanation spoof that was a famous Hollywood person inventing a persona of a strength coach at a nowhere college. Mm-hmm. That was out of control.
Southeast Tulsa College.
And doing bad things during the pandemic because football is all important. And this character, I thought was uproariously funny.
Stugatz, mute yourself.
What happened?
Mute yourself.
Sorry.
He feels so old with the MacBook. Thank you for throwing us a curveball. You still haven't muted yourself.
I did.
No, you're not. I see you. You're not muted.
I am old.
No, yeah, it's muted. You're good.
You sound good.
Stop doing that, Billy. Stop encouraging it.
I'm muted.
No, you're not. I just muted you.
I was muted.
No, you weren't.
Billy saw I was muted. It said mute. It said mute on my screen, Mike.
Go ahead, Dan.
Anyway,
should probably stop explaining it. Mystery Crate, we're going to take you behind the bit, and we've compiled all the Tim Churn segments. It's going to be a jam-packed episode of Mystery Crate because it's going to be a little bit of a longer
one. But why didn't you air it on ESPN
Radio? I'll explain on Mystery Crate as we go behind the bit and avoid being redundant. Stu Gatz, what's for brunch?
Oh, I think I'm going to have a nice little omelet today. Bacon, cheddar, mushroom, tomato, and diced onions. The key to a good omelet is not the stringy onions, if you like onions. It's diced, minced onions.
That is what we miss. The discipline of every 4 minutes getting to a place where we can tell you what we were having for lunch so we wouldn't have to make our own content.
I'll tell you this, Michael. Also, a little Urban Meyer news about to spring, okay?
I don't know what I feel about this one.
Go on.
What kind of news?
Urban Meyer, Jags collision course.
Yep. Wow. And London.
Number one overall pick. Tons of cap room. But Urban Meyer... That shit flies in college. We'll see how it flies in the NFL.
So that's the more sports that you want? That's what you're going for? Jags have a new coach. It's been a turnstile since Coughlin's been there. Nothing matters. They almost beat the Patriots. Now let's talk about, is Marone a coach? Does he only like bologna sandwiches? We're going to introduce you to coach after coach. And now this is the dude that's going to save it?
That's actually not where I want to go, Dan. I want to go to Chris. What's for brunch?
Oh, guys, Thursday, the day where the diet of the week falls apart. It's a beautiful day. Chipotle, a burrito. That's what I'm having. Yeah. You guys do this with the diets. On Monday, you eat clean. Tuesdays, you eat clean. Wednesdays, you fall off a little bit, but you're like, I'll be better tomorrow. And then Thursday, all the wheels fall off.
Every week. Mm-hmm.
Chris, you see Tua's teammates talking shit?
What is up with that? Armando Salguero getting the good stuff. They need to shut up. All right, he's going to be fine.
Well, tell people the story for those that don't know what we're talking about.
I mean, they were just basically saying what the popular stuff. Hold on, as I fill and I scroll to the...
Wait a minute. You didn't know shit there. You were faking it.
Paul, we haven't talked sports in 2 weeks.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Did that just happen to the oaf, the personal assistant?
He has to log on to Parler to find out what Armando said.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Anyone got a code?
Be careful with that laugh. That's political.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's with an E at the end. It's tricky.
Mike, what is the story involving? Wait a minute.
Armando.
I got it.
No. Just let's slow down. Chris, right. I want all of this left in because thank you for being a terrible personal assistant and also just the oaf who's bad at radio, because what you just did there made everything fall apart. Okay. Mike, explain both Armando Salguero and his feud with Parler. Explain to me why we're talking about
it. Well, he's feuding with Twitter. He loves Parler.
Explain to me what we're talking about, because I didn't know the story you were talking about either, but you threw it to Chris as a sports topic, as an executive wanting to get off the ground locally, some expertise on Dolphins talk, because there's a little bit of a seismic story in the press about the Dolphins.
It's starting to happen.
And Chris had nothing. Chris had nothing.
I know Chris is all over this story, and I at least thought he was, because this is the Dolphin talking point of the day, and I threw it to him not only for brunch, but I kind of wanted to hear those Tua thoughts, and I didn't have them.
Chris threw it into the chat.
Exactly. That's, yeah.
Chris, like, will you tell us what the story is, or do you still not know, even though you furiously started typing as if you were going to read and speak at the same time?
Dan, like, it's very simple. There were murmurs that that people apparently anonymously talked to Armando Salguero, and they said that, you know, when they found out Fitzpatrick wasn't going to be around for that final game, they were nervous, and they thought Ryan Fitzpatrick was the guy. That is what the teammates said.
Can someone actually offer me an explanation on what this was?
Yeah, so basically Armando Salguero quoted anonymous players where he was saying that the defense in practice was so underwhelmed with Tua that they were stunned that Flores went to Tua in the first place, and then as the season went along that they were not at all impressed, and as Chris said, wanted Fitzpatrick not just as backup but to start the final game against Buffalo.
All right,
they preferred Fitzpatrick.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second, because we're going straight to self-involvement here.
Was that
is correct. That is where I'm going to go there. What it was is what a professional broadcaster sounds like when following an oaf. Okay, I want to teach you people something here today, because I think it's important. You were just introduced to a new producer, Chris Whittingham. He's a whole new department we've got over here. Stugatz is sales, Mike is engineering, editorial, and something else. And Whittingham is guy who knows things, because when you ask Chris something, he's too busy doing cameos to know what it is that's going on his beat with the Dolphins. And so what just happened there, we were introduced to Whittingham. I remember this, okay, because we've had to go and summon every corner of our army, dude. Every corner. These are guys I've known since high school. Hey, you want a job? I feel like, Tony Montana talking to Ernie, except, look, it's Whittingham instead of, you know.
Pimply face Chris Whittingham, no. 18 years old, interning at VUM, University of Miami, former play-by-play voice and co-host of a popular official Chelsea podcast that I think we can finally
promote now.
We interview Olivier Giroud, the most handsome man on the planet, on that official Chelsea podcast, Chelsea Mic'd Up, available on Spotify and Apple Podcast.
All right, stop right there
what
for a second.
Happening?
I'm introducing the audience to Chris Whittingham. The voice you just heard came into our life about 15 years ago. Maybe earlier, high school kid, as good at broadcasting as anyone that I had seen come through 790, and just super polished, very good, and wanted to be a broadcaster. I mean, like a lot of the guys here, like Chris, who I've known since he's a kid, yep. And we've known him since he's a kid, and we've summoned a couple of people who we've known that way, who have been around our show, because you've noticed with our show, Angel Resto hangs around the show. Okay, you're hired. Juju. You like the show? Yeah, Juju Gotti, excuse me. You like this? All right, you're hired.
Well, people are going to start thinking if they just hang around the show, we might hire.
Well, that's how it's happened.
That's how it's happened. I got a few texts. Yeah. Hey, I got your number from Alex Dono.
Right.
Yeah, that's how it's happened. And so Whittingham, I remember being on a broadcast and afternoon radio, and I think it was a VUM call that he did, and it was so clean and crisp that I couldn't believe a teenager would be that good on a call.
He's excellent. I mean, just ahead of his years by a lot.
No, but now he just swooped in, though, and I think I'd prefer to talk to the other Chris now. And I'm sorry to do this to you, Chris Cody, but I mean, you blew the whole thing up for us.
He's an idea man. Well, it was his idea.
He's also nepotism. And you know,
he's nodding along in agreement in silence.
He's not disagreeing at all.
He's going to agree with this one more than any. He's a terrible, terrible personal assistant, like every bit as bad as you
still
would imagine.
Nodding along in agreement in
yes.
silence.
And so I went to him, and the show went to you in that crucial moment in your area of expertise, Chris. And the other Chris swooped in, and it felt to me like was coming for your job. So now we've got a competitive ecosystem where Stugatz is stealing the cameo money.
Personal assistant job, luckily.
Yes. Well, I mean, how good would Whittingham be at that job? I got coffee for the first time in 10 years brought to me here the other day by Whittingham.
Whittingham has plenty of jobs.
I'm just saying.
He just brought in coffee. He didn't ask you. He just brought you coffee.
Winningham, have you and I ever had a conversation about this being a left-leaning company?
Poor Tide. No, it's a pirate ship. I handed Mike a piece of paper with pirate terms on it. That's all I've gotten.
Let me explain something to you. Hold on. Let me explain something to you.
Well,
just
hurry up. I have a cameo to do in 4 minutes.
Yes, okay.
Boy, Chris Cody's upset at all these. The time on the ball, Chris Godey's head. Your usage rate.
I mean, I see what chair he's sitting in. I hear those background laughs. I don't like this shit. I'll tell you that much.
Well, you could have come in. Didn't I offer that up to the group? Who would wanted to come in and nobody wanted
I raised my hand. I wasn't selected.
Yeah, Chris raised his hand. You're like, Winningham, okay. By the way, I'm having toast and eggs.
Ooh, sweet.
Nice.
So that's as quick as it can happen around here where you get replaced? That's the
eggs.
Wait a minute. I can upgrade all the time from the personal assistant I presently have to Winningham now? I've got that kind of power? Oh, my God. It's going to get competitive around here because, Winningham, explain this story to me. Even cleaner than you just did, please. And Chris, if you'd want to have an opinion, I'm going to give you some time to formulate it in the event that you want to make yourself valuable around here as a takes guy. So what is your opinion to Winningham, who's going to give you the news report in the most professional of radio broadcaster ways? And Winningham, just throw Chris a question. And let's see if we can get a good ad-lib take out of it.
So the Miami Herald's Armando Salguero wrote a column in which he was illustrating the lack of confidence in Tua Tagovailoa in the Dolphins locker room. Defensively, they were not impressed in practice. Offensively, there were some players that he quoted anonymously as saying he wanted Ryan Fitzpatrick to start the final game against Buffalo. He had COVID, so he was only available. Well, he wasn't available, and there would have been a preference that you have that safety valve should Tua struggle in the game against Buffalo. So, my question to you, Chris Cody, is do you think that the Dolphins should trade Tua Tagovailoa and an assortment of other picks for Deshaun Watson from the Houston Texans?
I don't like this game. I'm not playing this game with you guys. He stammered a couple times. He could get a little nervous at the end there.
You're right. Well, we put him on the spot.
I'm not playing this game.
No, this is what happened to
the
Winningham.
Dangerous game,
He
Chris.
Came out strong and slick and polished, and then I put way too much pressure on him because this is the big show now. This isn't the small little shit show it was when Winningham came into our lives 15 years ago.
I thought you were throwing stones at Chelsea mic'd up.
No. And now they're big stars. They've got their own podcast, and this was a big get for you guys. You guys were excited, and he was impossibly handsome.
Oh, my God.
His hair is beautiful, and Jesus. And
you
and
know what happened to me when I saw
that,
his
is
face?
Is that the biggest guest Chelsea has gotten?
We've had Petr Cech and Ashley Cole, guys that have like won Champions Leagues. And
Pulisic.
And Christian Pulisic was obvious. Oh, Christian Pulisic, by the way, joining us on Chelsea Mic'd Up next month. He's gotten better at interviews, too, so I'm excited about that. Olivier Giroud is 34 years old. What Zlatan's doing in Serie A and Italy right now is insane because all the injuries that he's had, and at that age, he's still like he's considered the best player in Italy right now. He's even better than Ronaldo. You have these guys like Ronaldo and Zlatan that are amazing in older age, but they've always been amazing. They've always been great. They've always been one of the three names that you rattle off at the top of your head when you're asked who's the best player in the world. Olivier Giroud is 34 years old, and his whole reputation was he's a striker that doesn't score goals. How is France winning the World Cup with this guy up top? His job is to score goals. He's not scoring goals. He also happens to be the most f***ing handsome man on the planet. He is a beautiful man.
You looked like you were longing. It was weird to see you. You've gotten better at interviews. You've enjoyed getting better at interviews. Some of these guys have intimidating presences.
Well, some of them, Jorginho spoke to us in his eighth language. It's hard with soccer players. Olivier Giroud is French. He's doing this interview in his second language, and it's hard to convey my brand of, hey, you're handsome.
But
and
you
kind
connected
of
with
you
him.
And
you connected with him in with an undercurrent of you were hitting on him. Chris, is this how you experienced it? It felt like
100%.
Mike Ryan was flirting with the pretty soccer man.
He's devastatingly handsome, and he's probably more famous, even though he's turned into a really good soccer player. He's more famous probably for his looks.
Yeah, he's probably the only soccer player who exists to be looked at for their handsomeness. It's secondary his playing ability. He is just, oh my God, the entire internet is in love with this
I
man.
Thought that was Ronaldo, though.
Ronaldo's always been excellent. Ronaldo's always been like, okay, he's as great a football player as he is beautiful.
But Ronaldo is the standard for impossibly handsome.
Well, Beckham
now.
Too. Well, Beckham was also, but he was also considered a top 10 in the world player. Olivier Giroud is, not that he's Anna Kournikova, because that's way too harsh, because Olivier Giroud has a good goal-scoring record. But what happened in his mid-30s is now
per minute, he's the best goal scorer in the Premier League. At age 34, he's gone from not scoring in the World Cup that France won to scoring every time he takes the pitch. But he's of an age where Chelsea are in a difficult position because they're signing 22-year-olds that are supposed to hold that down, and you can't take him off the pitch because no one saw it coming. At age 34, he'd be one of the most efficient goal scorers in the league. That is all secondary to the fact that he is gorgeous.
Yes, this is the thing that came off very strong. It felt like an unusually homoerotic interview.
Well, and have you seen this guy?
Well, I've seen him, but I've never seen Mike quite this way. This is the thing that I saw in Mike Whittingham. You witnessed it too, I believe, but disagree if I'm wrong here, that Mike Ryan badly wanted this man to get his joke and find him charming.
You could have left that sentence halfway. Did you hear that joke, Witty?
Yeah!
Stick it to him, Chris!
Yeah!